We claim you
as king.
We crown you
as king. About beyond, what's that little book? The Daily Bread? Mm-hmm. You get a nice story and you get a quick prayer. But how many of us are willing to expose ourselves for the sake of helping ourselves and say, God, I need to do better? Someone in our congregation who, in my opinion, no doubt loves God and God's word. Because it's different when you say, oh, I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? But when you're talking about loving God's word, that seems to expose itself in a different way. Because people can say they love God and you don't see nothing that show that. But when people tell you they love God's word, there's evidence because it comes out of their mouth and their speech. They're always talking about God's word. They're always looking to work it in somewhere. They're always trying to give it to someone. Come on, somebody. So I placed a phone call and I asked one simple question. After all of the niceties and the pleasantries, I said, why do you love God's word? After a little giggle of glee, this is what they said. I love the word of God because it is God. I get to know God through God's word. I know God's character, nature, and will through reading the word. And then they went on to say, I enjoy the revelation that I get from God when I read the word. They said, I'm thankful for the revelations that I get from reading other people's books that are writing about the word. Yes, don't have the wrong military view about your word, right? Because you can't just carry it openly in some countries that you go to. Am I correct? I mean, it makes you a target. But we can have our Bible and not have our Bible. We can have a Bible and just it become a piece of furniture. In this country, I know I don't have to spend time trying to explain that within the pages of the 66 books, there is rich history and pregnant promises. There's cautionary tales and there's a preview into the end of the story. Anybody know that? However, just in case I might be wrong, I'm going to give you a few reasons why the Word of God must be more than a bedtime story for your children at night. I want to share a little bit about why it is important to God that we find delight in His Word, delight in God's Word. The Bible is a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift that keeps on giving. It's not a gift that you get one time and then, you know, use it all of its capabilities. It's not one of those kinds of gifts. You know, I love perfume, but once you squirt that last squirt, we find warnings and we find direction. According to Psalm 119 and 105, God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Uh-huh. When this scripture was brought up in my spirit, this is what I sensed. The lamp unto my feet is to help me to see where I'm stepping. It helps me to avoid the potholes and to find my footing in the rough terrain of life. It shows me right here where I need to place my foot. It helps me with my next step. This makes me think of a portion of my favorite scripture, Psalm 23. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. I can at least see my next step. It may be dark at times, but if I just remain in God's word, I can get just enough light to show me my next step. Just show me my next step. How do I don't know exactly what all my steps are going to be, But when you have a lamp, it shines right at you so I can see. Okay. 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 All right. It can show me my next step. Yeah. I may not be able to see the finish line up ahead, but God, just help me to see just my next step. Anybody glad that I can I'm not asking for, but just my next step. Somebody say next step. Yeah. It is a lamp unto my feet. And then in God's grace, there are times when God would allow the word to give us a broader view. And we're able to see a little further up the road. It now becomes a light unto my path. I can not only see where I'm stepping, but I get to kind of see where I'm going. It's not only illumination, but it's also direction. It's not the Apostle James 25 that the word is like a mirror. Let us turn to James chapter 1. Amen. And we're going to read just three verses. James chapter 1. If you don't have a personal Bible, you can reach under the pew. There should be some there. Amen. I know we have electronics as well. Cue that up. James chapter 1, verses 22-25. If you're there, would you please signify by saying amen? It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. When we hear the word of God and we do not do what it says, it is the same as looking into a mirror and walking away, forgetting what you saw and forgetting what you look like. Okay, in other words, there are times when in God's will, through the word, he shows us our sinfulness, which should elicit some type of response when you read the word, right? Right, right. So let me say it another way. If you walk by a mirror and you see that you got something hanging out of your nose, you're going to get that thing quickly. And you're going to start wondering, how long has it been there? Why didn't nobody else tell me nothing about it? Oh, okay. You ain't going to let it just continue to swing with you. You're going to get it. If you look in the mirror and you see that your bun has now started sticking straight up in the air, you're going to take some time to tuck your hair in, get it underneath that rubber band, and get it straight. Come on, somebody. It's the same with the word of God. When we come to the word of God, and we see things that God is telling us through his word that we need to correct. The next thing on the agenda is, God, help me, because that thing needs to be corrected. We don't just say, well, that's me. That's how he made me. Oh, well. No, we need to correct. But that's what the Bible does. It's a reflection. It's a reflector. It lets us see what we normally can't see with the naked eye. It allows us to see what we really don't want to see. It takes the Spirit, the work of the Spirit, to allow us to see really who we truly are. So when God uses the word to hold up a mirror, and it reflects our hearts and our motives, we should want to get it right. Somebody say, get it right. We should repent, which is a turning away from that sin and turning towards God, right? We should ask for forgiveness. We should receive that forgiveness and then walk in the newness of God's grace and strength. This is why James says it is looking intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and declares that there is a blessing in it. I come here to remind all of us, don't disregard what you see in the mirror. It's time out. The word of God. Oh, the pastor. 34. I'm going to read to verse 19, and then I'm going to move to verse 29 and read 29 through 31. I'll wait for you. Second Chronicles. That is in the Old Testament, so it should be towards the front part of your Bible. Use your table of contents. There is nothing to be ashamed about up in here. Second Chronicles chapter 34. And I'm going to wait because we all need to be together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. If we have it, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, 14th verse. If you have it, can you say amen? It reads, while they were bringing out the money that had been taken into the temple of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord that had been given through Moses. I'm backing up to that comma. Hilkiah, the priest, what did he do? He found the book of the law of the Lord that had been given through Moses. Hilkiah said to Shaphan, the secretary, I have what? Found the book of the law in the what? Temple of the Lord. He gave it to Shaphan. Then Shaphan took the book to the king and reported to him, your officials are doing everything that has been committed to them. They have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the supervisors and workers. And then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book. And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. Verse 19, when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his robes. Fast forward to verse 29, same chapter. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites, all the people, from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been what? Found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by his pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commands, statutes, and decrees with all his heart and with all his soul, and to obey the words of the covenant written in this book. As a backdrop to what is going on in this narrative, Second Chronicles is considered to be a retelling or a commentary of the events that are written in First and Second Kings. So this is why it seems repetitive, but it has more detail. Okay, so by the time we get to chapter 34 of 2 Chronicles, the northern kingdom of Israel has been taken into captivity, and the southern kingdom of Judah is barely hanging in there. They still remain, but it's a mess. Josiah is the current king, and he comes from a line of wicked kings, to include his father and his grandfather, Manasseh. Okay, before Josiah, the other kings had led the people so far away from God that they had began to build idol altars of worship inside the temple, in the church. They were erecting Asherah poles and idol worshiping idol gods in the temple of God. At one point in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 9, it says that Judah and the people of Jerusalem were led astray so much that they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. Okay, so let me say it another way. The church folk was so wicked that the world didn't have nothing on them. Okay. Let me try it over here. The saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost folk was doing all kinds of wickedness and evil that the world was looking, trying to figure out how they could learn from them. Oh, okay. It's something when God will look at his people and he will declare that you are more wicked than the nations that I beat up on for you. The ones that I delivered you from. The ones that I stood in between you and them for. You are more wicked than they. Okay. I just want us to be clear on what the word of God says. Do we understand how bad things had gotten? How in the world did they get there? Could it be just that? That they were practicing being of the world and not just living in the world? But God always has a plan of restoration for God's people. Amen? Hallelujah to that. A new king was raised up, and his name is Josiah. And Josiah took the throne when he was only 8 years old. He was a baby, but God knew what he was doing. It wasn't until 8 years later, at the age of 16, that he started to seek the Lord. So still there was the idol gods and the pagan temples and all of that going on in the temple, amen, amen, for 8 years of his reign. But the Lord had to deal with Josiah. And so then after Josiah was walking with God for another 4 years, it's at the age of 20 that he was moved to begin restoration and reformation in the land. He had a relationship with God in such a way that he said, this is not right. We are not where we are supposed to be. We're not doing what we're supposed to do. This is not right. And so he began to purge the nation of Judah. And that was 6 years. And then 6 years later, at the age of 26, he said, look, we've torn down all those other worship altars. We broke all that down. Now we need to go in and restore the temple. Amen? Amen. Now we need to go in and restore the temple. So he set it in motion, and the people got busy rebuilding the temple of God. It was during this temple restoration project that Hilkiah, the priest, finds the book of the law. So let's get the picture. He is the priest working in the temple. Josiah says, we need to start cleaning up the temple. We need to start getting all this debris out of here. We need to rebuild the temple. And Hilkiah goes into some dusty corner and lifts up a box and finds the Bible. What is amazing to me is that I could not pinpoint in my research when it was lost. Oh, my God. When I looked at, nobody can pinpoint how long it has been lost. Tucked away somewhere. At least they say, at least 100 years. The only Bible in the congregation. And it's lost. And nobody cares. At some point, there had to be a small iteration in the spiritual practice of that nation. At some point, something changed. At some point, somebody said, you know what? We don't need to read from the book today. At some point, you know what? We're getting ready for the festival. We don't need to read the book today. Something changed. Something small. Can you know how it works. And then the next day, they said, well, you know, we don't need to read it today. And then it keeps going. And then it's a week. And then it's a month. And then it's a year. And then it's 100 years. It don't take a giant leap to get there. It just takes a small change. The enemy is waiting for the one day you say, I ain't gonna read. The one day that you get too busy. He's waiting. He's waiting. The one day. We get caught up one day and we don't do our daily devotional and then we're behind and we promise to read twice as much the next day. Oh, come on. Come on. You didn't have 5 minutes last yesterday. Now you gonna give 10 today? Oh, come on, somebody. Come on. If I'm wrong, y'all tell me now. That's how it works. I'm going to catch up. Oh, Lord, a pastor had us read Matthew. I ain't finished Matthew and got to go to Romans. Oh, look, I'm going to catch all that up. No, you ain't. No, you ain't. No, you ain't. No, you ain't. It just takes a small change. Just a small change. Do I have any honest people in here? Can you picture when Hilkiah actually found it? Because I believe he wasn't even looking for it. He was just policing up the joint. He stumbled across the book of the law. He stumbled across. Can you imagine that moment that he came across that? Oh, my goodness. Is that what I think it is? Is that what I think it is? He knew what the book was. He's a priest. He's heard about it at least. Kind of makes me think of how sometimes we are so divorced from a daily connection with our Bibles that if our lives depended upon it, we wouldn't be able to pinpoint the last place we laid it down. Is it in the trunk of the car? Is it under the couch? Is it underneath the baby crib? Where is it? Where's the tangible Bible? Where is it? We have times where we lose ourselves. For some, this may be the only place where you bring it. And you may not even use it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do I have any honest people in here today? And I understand that now we have these electronic devices. So really puts the Bible right at our fingertips. And we all have our Bible apps, right? But what good is a Bible app if we don't want to apply what's in the Bible. What good is it? We got it on our iPad, we got it on our iPhone, we got it on our Samsungs, you know, we got it on all of our Androids, but if we don't want to apply, then what good is it? Y'all ain't gonna help me. The word was always in the temple. It was there the entire time. In the house of God. And I don't believe that it was so much a physical thing as to why they could not see the book. I believe it was a spiritual blindness. I believe that it was a spiritual blindness that had happened and had taken over the nation. Come on, somebody. I believe that because there was no seek in their bellies anymore and there was no appetite for God, that God allowed the book to remain hidden. And this was not an out of sight, out of mind instance. This was an out of fellowship, out of sight. When we become out of fellowship with God, that is when we begin to walk away and turn from the things of God, the things that can hold us and keep us and cover us. When we come out of fellowship, when we find ourselves out of fellowship with God, living our lives with God on the outer fringes, worshiping God and worshiping gods. Worshiping God and worshiping God. Out of fellowship, then slowly the word of God begins to slip to the recesses. I came in here to help us. Praise God for the indestructibility of God's word. Hallelujah. As God watched this nation turn away all those years, God sovereignly waited for the right time. The right time. And the time is now when King Josiah has an appetite and he's come with reform and purging for the nation. When Josiah has assumed responsibility to turn the nation back to God, that now revival has come. So the people are responsive, and the first order of business to Josiah's reform is to take care of the temple. Last week, restore God's house. The center of their worship. Josiah, as the leader, had to tear down the idolatry. And now the people had to build true worship back up. It is after this that the word of God reappears, unhidden and revealed, as a source of light once again to a reformed nation. So what did King Josiah do when he heard the words of the book of the law? It says that he tore his robes. He understood the severity of what this meant. He understood where the nation had slipped to. He knew that they were out of fellowship and they were in sin. And this was a confirmation that what had happened was due to a lack of relationship with God. I want to tell you that anytime we find ourselves rediscovering the word of God, it is not that the word was lost. It's that we were lost. I'll say it again. Anytime we find ourselves rediscovering the word of God, it's not so much that the word was lost. It's that we were lost. After months and months and you stumble across your Bible, oh, I found my Bible. No, the Bible found you. The Bible found you. How did you get disconnected from your Bible? After months and months and years, when you get ready to move to another location, here's my Bible. Well, we packing up now. Let me put it in a box. Come on. We become separated. So after some time, King Josiah calls the people together. And this is what he says in verse 30. I'm going to read it again. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Judah, the priests and the Levites, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read it in their hearing, all the words of the book of the law, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by his pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commands, statutes, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, and to obey the words of the covenant written in this book. I want to end with this. You can begin playing. As many of you know, may know, Dr. Thompson goes away every year for the last 4 years now to sit with God and to line up what God will say to us for the year, the next year. So I say that to say this. I knew that I had to preach on this Sunday as of last December 2015. So, fast forward to Saturday, December 3rd, earlier this month, 15 days ago, I was at new members orientation, and the Lord began to prompt me to begin to work on my message for the 18th. I said, okay, God. He told me it was going to be about loving the word of God. I thought, oh, it's going to be a nice little, you know, nice little light word. Amen. So I began to work on that word. Tuesday came. God began to give me a vision. He gave it to me all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday, all day Thursday. And I had been meditating on that vision. I said, okay, God. I see it. You're going to have to show me how that's supposed to work out. Because I didn't see the connection at first. I didn't even have a particular scripture yet. I was just working through some various scriptures. So Friday of that same week, Pastor sends some of the leadership an email. And he shares with us what God had given him. And he says that he's going to call the people into a covenant with not neglecting the house of God and taking responsibility. So I had to jump on the phone immediately. It was his day off. Y'all don't follow my lead, okay? But I had to get this out because I was leaping with joy. Because the vision that God had given him was the vision that God had given me Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, going into Friday. And I struggled a little bit. I said, you know, I want to be clear. I try my best not to miss God, even though we do, and our best intentions. But I struggled a little bit, and I said, Pastor, you know, now I've got to go back to God. I need to know, was he showing me something, kind of giving me a peek of what you were doing? But I believe this is what God told me to do, and I don't want the people be up there looking at me, talking about, look at her copying the pastor, because I don't do that. Anyone who knows me knows I don't play with God. And he gave me the assurance to go with God, to be obedient to what God was showing me. And so now, as we are here at the end of the message, I pray that it has been clear and relevant, and it has found you. That it has found you today. And so I believe God, and I'm following God's order from here on out. So with every head bowed and every eye closed in this place, right where you are, the Holy Spirit has asked me to make two calls. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Praise the Lord. Two calls. The first call is to anyone in here that feels that I've heard the word and I just can't seem to get that relationship started with the word of God. I know I'm supposed to read the Bible. I've told myself over and over, I'm going to start reading my word. But somehow, it never connects. It never takes hold. Your spirit is willing, but it seems like your flesh is weak. Or maybe you just have convinced yourself that it don't take all that. Maybe you've told yourself that you can live this life with a Sunday visit and grace before you eat. Maybe it's a matter that you don't believe what the Word of God says. Maybe you don't count it as true. Maybe your life seems to be paradoxical to what the Word declares at times. Maybe. Whatever your struggle is that keeps you from getting into that relationship with God, with every eye closed and every head bowed, if that is you in some way, you know, then lift your hand right where you are. Amen. Lift your hand right where you are. Hallelujah. Keep your hand lifted if you know that is you. I'm sending some troops your way. I'm sending some troops your way. We're going to break that off for you. In the name of Jesus. Keep your hand lifted. You can pray right where they are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Saints of God in the house, I need you to pray with your eyes closed. Begin to pray for those that have said, I'm struggling.